Packers fans, and welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Tom Silverstein. We are without our esteemed colleague Ryan Wood for this episode. He is at home recovering, not feeling well. Spoon, that seems to be the what's going around the NFL is not feeling well as the league sort of deals with a COVID outbreak. Let's kind of just start with the Packers, though. They thus far have only had one player placed on the reserve COVID list this week, Kenny Clark. And it seems like they got away with something considering what the rest of the league is going through.
Yeah, even though it is Kenny Clark, who's such a vital player, probably their best player on defense. Yeah, he is their best player on defense. That's a big blow, but comparatively, you know, you compare it to what going on in the league where Washington has, you know, like 20 guys and lost their quarterback this morning, and the Bears have all three coordinators are out. Cleveland is just decimated. Their quarterback and head coach are out. It's that time of year. Well, you know, it reflects what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is not immune from all this stuff. And the thing that, you're right, the Packers have been lucky. I mean, in the past 2 weeks, they've only had two player positive tests. Mm-hmm. And in Jordan Love and Clark. So that's pretty remarkable to go, considering what's going on in the rest of the league. And, you know, I looked at the division, and, you know, they were by far the least impacted so far.
Which is saying something when they've dealt with so many injuries. But because of that, Matt LaFleur told us this week that he's kind of just at this point viewing the COVID positives as you would an injury. Like, okay, next man up, let's roll with it. We know we're going to lose people at points this season. But the league did change a lot of their protocols this week concerning COVID, some of them with the increase in testing just to deal with this new Omicron variant. But they also are allowing players to come back much sooner. Just as we sort of learn more and more about this variant, it's very transmissible, does not seem to be causing as much severity. Of course, that we're still learning about it, but kind of take us through some of these protocols. I know you spent hours yesterday deep in the paperwork and the memos that the NFL sent out. So kind of take us through some of these new protocols and what they could mean for teams.
Yeah. So the one that fans are most interested in, I'm sure, is that it will be easier for players to come back from positive tests. So if you test positive for COVID, it's possible you won't have to sit out as long. They have made, they said based on scientific data that if a player is asymptomatic, and I assume that means, like, I don't know what the definition is, but I assume that means no fever, you know, no cough. It would be nice to know exactly what asymptomatic the definition is. But let's just say from a standard, you know, from what we know, you just don't feel sick. You can come back as soon as you test negative. Mm-hmm. So you could test positive. Let's just say it's Kenny Clark. He could test positive Thursday, test negative Friday, and he would be cleared to play.
Does he have
asymptomatic?
Does he have to return one negative test or two?
One now. So all you need is one. If it would have to be. See, now we're going into all the things. I'm going to have to call it up. But I think it's one test 24 hours after you tested positive, I think. I'll look it up as we're talking.
Okay.
But regardless, it's far easier. They've decided that asymptomatic people who eventually test negative are not a threat. So they're allowing them to come back. And I'm sure part of that is they're seeing so many positive tests
right. That
they're going to start canceling games pretty soon. And they don't want to do that. And I guess they feel like the scientific data says it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
I almost
that's wouldn't be kind of where we stand right now.
Yeah. I almost wouldn't be surprised if we eventually do see a canceled game this weekend, or at least a postponed game.
I wouldn't either. I mean, it's.
The Browns are limping into this game with the Raiders with less than half of their roster.
Yeah, and Washington too. I mean, it's just, you know, you are cheating the fans,
right?
If you're expecting them to watch football where it's, you know, 8 to 10 backups are forced to play,
right.
And quarterbacks aren't playing, and you know, it's just crazy.
And especially, and of course, the main concern, as it should be, is how are the players? Are they feeling okay? Are they well? You know, and can they recover? But at the same time, you know, you're asking the Browns, Washington, some of these teams that are on the fringe and trying to get a wild card spot to go fight for a wild card spot. Washington's signing a quarterback right now to go play Sunday against the Eagles. I think that's who they're playing. I mean, that's that's a little ridiculous. And especially for a team that's fighting for a spot. And, you know, of course, you know, if Taylor Heinicke was injured, that would be one thing, but Taylor Heinicke and Allen, their backup, both were put on the reserve COVID list this week. And so now they're just signing someone as quick as they can. And this late into the season, no offense to the guy they're signing, but this late into the season, you're not signing anyone of a quality caliber to come in and lead your team as you fight for a wild card spot. So
it's
definitely going to be interesting to watch. The Browns, especially, they are a case study in what could go wrong. And that is the Packers' next opponent after the Ravens. So that's definitely a team to keep an eye on over the next few days to see if their case numbers continue to rise, or if, I mean, that at this point, the Browns have had an outbreak. It can be labeled an outbreak. How many players can return quickly under these new protocols and how many are sitting out for the 10 days? It seems that the Browns outbreak started and was really labeled on Wednesday, or at least that's when Baker Mayfield was placed on the COVID list. And 10 days out from Wednesday is next Saturday, which is the day of the Packers-Browns game on Christmas Day. So definitely one to keep an eye on out of Cleveland as well. And of course, we do hope, you know, over 100 players have been placed on the list this week. Just hope that they're all feeling well, can recover quickly. And, you know, as fans of the game, that we can move on with something respectable on the field here soon. As we mentioned, Kenny Clark on the reserve COVID list as well. As Spoon was saying, no idea how quickly he could return. It sounds like, based on what the Packers are saying, or Matt LaFleur, coaches, players, they're not expecting to have him for Sunday against the Ravens. At this point, they're pretty much rolling with TJ Slayton there on the line in his spot. He is a rookie. Very athletic guy, but, you know, still sort of learning the game. So, Spoon, as you said, Kenny Clark could arguably be their best defensive player. Where does that front seven stand with him not there?
Well, it's a blow. It doesn't matter. You know, they have depth there. They can put guys in. It's not like they don't have enough guys, but they just don't have a Kenny Clark. And so that's what's the big thing. And Kenny Clark has disrupted a lot of things. He's taken advantage of a lot of lesser centers, really caused some problems that way. And against Baltimore, they're going to need pressure up the middle, regardless if it's Lamar Jackson playing quarterback or Tyler Huntley. It's a matter of making sure that they can not let the quarterback go off. You know, they need to have some pressure up the middle. So I think it's going to be a challenge if he doesn't play. And I'm sure they are planning as though he's not going to play unless something happens today. And they're going to have to ask for a lot from particularly TJ Slayton, because he is the true nose tackle. I guess he and Tyler Lancaster, but Slayton is an extremely good athlete, and he had to play 45 snaps against Kansas City when Clark got hurt earlier this year. So he's there, he's ready, and it'll be, you know, he's got to show up.
I covered TJ Slayton in college, and I remember his sophomore year, I think it was his sophomore or junior year. He told me before the season, his goal was to chase the sack record at Florida, which was set by Alex Brown, an incredible player in college and in the NFL as well. But to chase the sack record from a nose tackle position is almost unheard of. He didn't reach it, but he got over halfway. And so he definitely has the ability to get pressure up the middle. But again, as we said, still a guy sort of learning the speed of the game. How much could they end up relying sort of on their edges to counteract what is having to go on the interior, if that makes sense?
I don't know. I don't think your exterior perimeter rushers can make up for what's going on in the middle. If you don't have, if you're not strong up the middle, you're not strong up the middle.
Could you bring like Barnes and some of the middle linebackers up maybe closer to the line?
No, I don't think so. You don't want to take them out of their angles. And I think the one thing you can do, it's pretty much the only thing you can do, is bring a safety up to the line of scrimmage and cause Baltimore to deal with an 8-man front. Now, another thing Joe Barry has done is he's brought Devondre Campbell up to the line of scrimmage as either right over the center, as you are referencing, or to the outside and creating a 5-man front or 6-man front. So we could see that if they're not getting what they need out of the middle, if Baltimore's starting to run the ball right down their throat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you could do that. I don't know if you could consistently bring both inside linebackers up without getting burned by play action. So it will be interesting to see what Joe Barry does. But yeah, we might see, to your point, we might see Devondre Campbell up near the line of scrimmage more than normal.
So just bring like an outside guy in instead of the mic. Okay. To your point, you don't want to get burned by the play action. The Ravens run it almost better than anyone in the league. As Joe Barry was sort of explaining to us this week, they run a true play action, not necessarily what other teams have sort of co-opted off of the scheme. You know, they run it with their quarterback, which could be Tyler Huntley this week if Lamar Jackson doesn't play. We'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, it's run, lull you up, and then hit you over the top to Hollywood and get a big gain that way, because Lamar Jackson does have a good arm. You know, people focus so much on his legs that his arm gets overlooked, but he can hit you downfield and hurt you that way as well. What does this defense sort of need to be prepared for? You know, Matt LaFleur said over and over, we have to be disciplined this week because this is a scheme unlike any other scheme you will see in the NFL. What all does that mean, no matter if it's Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley at quarterback?
Well, first of all, the Ravens run the ball really well, even though they've lost, I don't know how many running backs.
They've got a ball boy at running back right now.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically using Devontae Freeman now, who was a little bit of a cast off. And
Devontae Freeman helped me win my fantasy league when I was in college 10 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Well, that was 10 years ago.
Huh? But, you know, you look at the running backs that they have on IR. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is most notable. He's on IR. And so they're going to go with, you know, Freeman. But they're still successful running the ball. They rank, I think, fifth maybe in the NFL at 100.
I'll pull it up and look.
Now, a lot of that is Lamar Jackson. But either way, you know, it's still a running game. And so you have to be able to protect. You have to be able to handle their RPOs. You have to be able to handle their read options, all those things, in order to keep them in check. What you really want to do, and this is what I think Joe Barry will do, is I think he will come up with some 5 and 6 man fronts where Campbell comes down and they just take out the outside edges. They just force Baltimore to run up the middle. Now, it would be better if you had Kenny Clark, but it's better than having either Jackson or Huntley, you know, getting outside and you know, running wild off of bootlegs and play action and that kind of stuff. So I think they're going to have to try to take away the run first, and then, you know, they'll worry about handling their receivers after that.
The Ravens are third in the league in rushing. They average 144.8 yards per game. Spoon, how difficult is that, kind of with what you were saying about having to watch the run and respect the run? How difficult is that at times for guys to know, like, I have to be disciplined. I have to stay in my spot. You know, the Packers always say, what is it? Do your 111. And to not sort of be an independent contractor. Is that where the Ravens get people? Is guys like wanting to go off and do something and make the big play? I guess what I'm asking is, like, can they use you against you, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as facing Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes. You know, if you're not disciplined and you let Lamar Jackson or Huntley get, you know, step up, get outside the pocket, you are playing right into their hands. Mm-hmm. So your pass rushers have to be really disciplined. And the Packers did a really good job against Kyler Murray, and they did a pretty darn good job against Patrick Mahomes, who's playing a lot better now than he was back then, but they didn't allow him to really get outside much. So that's where they have to be good. Now, they weren't as good doing that against Justin Fields last week, and it probably helped them that they did face him, because I think that's going to help them deal with Lamar Jackson. They know they can't get out of their rush lanes. They have to try to keep, if it's Lamar Jackson, they got to keep him in the pocket. If it's Huntley, a little bit of the same. He might be a little bit more of a pocket passer, but either way, they got to be disciplined. They just can't. It's okay if you don't get the sack, but if you can get up the field and cause the quarterback to have to hold on to the ball, that's not a bad thing either.
Lamar Jackson did not practice on Thursday. According to Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, it's looking like an uphill battle for Lamar Jackson to play this weekend. Of course, John Harbaugh said earlier this week, the plans are right now in my mind for Lamar to be out there. So we'll see where it goes. If he can go, he'll go. If not, Tyler will be the quarterback. That's where we're at.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about that is they probably can live with not playing him in this game. I believe they play Cleveland next week. And then I think they have Pittsburgh still.
Well, the Packers play Cleveland, so it wouldn't be.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
They play the Bengals. The
Ravens have.
They play the Bengals next.
They have Cincinnati next week. And then they play the Steelers the last week of the year. So those are their most important games.
Right.
And if it takes Lamar Jackson to sit a week to be really good enough to beat Cincinnati, then I think they could live with that. I don't think they'd ever say that publicly, but that could be in their thinking.
Yeah. They lead their division, correct?
Yes.
And I'm not sure by how much, but, you know, to your point, some of those other conference games might be a little bit more important to them. We'll see. We will wait to find out about Lamar Jackson. We might not know until tomorrow afternoon or Sunday. Well, I don't think he's on IR, so they don't have to activate him. So it might be Sunday before we find out, correct? What would be the timeline?
Yeah. They don't have to do anything until an hour and a half before the game. So we won't know until then for sure who's playing.
Do you think there could be a situation where – And this might be risky, but could there be a situation where they dress him and let Tyler Huntley start? And like, if the medical team says Lamar Jackson can go, it might end up setting him back, but he can, if he happens to hurt himself again, but he can play, but he's at like 90%. Do the Ravens him and start Tyler Huntley and use Lamar in an emergency situation?
I guess if Huntley got hurt, yeah, they could do that. Mm-hmm. But I think if he's 90% and can play, then he's playing.
Yeah.
If they just feel like he can't protect himself and is, it's too much of a risk, he can re-injure the ankle, then I don't think they play him.
Yeah. On the Packers sideline, they will have Jordan Love back this week as the backup. Kurt back to the practice squad after Jordan Love was brought up from the reserve COVID list. But we did get to see Kurt Benkert take two snaps last week, or was it one snap for negative 2 yards? I can't quite remember. In victory formation, and he got the football from that, got it signed and everything. If you haven't seen his social media, go check it out. He was pretty proud of that game ball. Is that the only time we ever see Benkert on the field, Spoon?
Probably.
Yeah.
That'll be it, unless something happens to Jordan Love again, but
yeah,
or something happens to Rodgers.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's
but good for him.
15 minutes of fame.
Exactly. He had fun. Good for him. Yeah. Someone else that we will keep an eye on this weekend is Amari Rodgers. Amari Rodgers, could have a big game. He is going against his dad. You know, we heard some of the coaches joke this weekend. They saw Van Jefferson score a touchdown against his dad, the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver coach Sean Jefferson, this weekend, and told Amari Rodgers, hey, this is your weekend to do the same. If you did not know, Amari Rodgers, the Packers wide receiver, is the son of T. Martin, the former national championship quarterback who is now the wide receivers coach with the Baltimore Ravens. Spoon, no offense to Amari Rodgers, but he's not as vital to his offense as Van Jefferson. Do you see something like that happening this weekend? We're going to get into special teams here in a minute, but on offense, if EQ is still in concussion protocol, Equanimeous St. Brown, and no Randall Cobb, do we see more Amari Rodgers, or do you think they're okay with going how they did last weekend, relying on, of course, Davante Adams and Alan Lazard?
I don't think we'll see a lot more of him. I think they may use him a little bit more as a slot guy, but they brought Juwan Winfrey up to the 53-man roster this week, and he's a promising player. I mean, he played a ton. If you go back to the Arizona game when Lazard and Adams were out, he played a ton and had a couple of plays, decent plays. One, he should have scored a touchdown. He let the guy poke the ball out, but he had the guy beat. And if he gets by him, it's a touchdown. So I think we're going to see a good dose of him, and he can play in the slot too. He's very, very quick, really good off the line of scrimmage. So I kind of want to see what they're going to do there. With Amari Rodgers, he may just need a mental break.
Yeah.
You know, I think the whole punt return thing has got to have been a psychological thing at this point. And they may need to just kind of hold him on the side and say, you know, just take a break here. And, you know, they'll go with Winfrey on offense and try to find someone else on special teams.
You asked Matt LaFleur this week if Juwan Winfrey could be used on special teams. And he essentially said, if he's dressed, he's going to be on special teams. Because at this point, they're going all hands on deck. He said, even we'll use starters if we have to, and just to help on special teams. Juwan Winfrey was used on special teams during training camp, if I'm remembering what I was told correctly. So how vital could he be on special teams as well? And I know that Marie Straighton was explaining to us this week, to your point about if Amari Rodgers needs a mental break, what can you do there? And that was almost the plan with Randall Cobb, was to let Amari Rodgers watch Randall Cobb and sort of learn from him. So can they use, sorry, I'm like basically throwing two different subjects at you here. How vital can Juwan Winfrey be on special teams? And to your point about Amari Rodgers needing a mental break, is there someone there now that Randall Cobb is hurt that can sort of take that over for him? Or are you still just letting Randall Cobb talk to him in practice, if that makes sense, and put him back out there on game days?
I think that they're going to make a change there. I think they can't afford to continue along that path with him. And so, you know, now what their options are, it's possible they could go with Chandon Sullivan. He has returned punts before. I don't think Winfrey has any punt return. I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't. You know, maybe Malik Taylor. He's pretty reliable on kickoff returns in terms of just fielding the ball. You know, Drayton said that they have a couple people in the bullpen ready. He wouldn't say who they are, but I think they're going to probably make a change there and give Amari Rodgers a break and maybe just let him focus on playing wide receiver for right now. Maybe that's kind of what they need to do to get his head on straight and get him being productive in one way or another. They need to not have to hold their breath every time they go back to field a punt. So I do think we'll see a change there.
Last week against the Bears, the punt and kick return team were just gashed over and over. There was, you know, a 97-yard return for a touchdown. There, for three straight drives, the Bears started on respectively the 41, the 40, and the 42. I mean, so those are huge returns. Marie Straighton talked a lot this week, as did Matt LaFleur, about how they're sort of a directional punting and kicking team. And that was called into question, as it should have been after that Bears performance. But given who the Bears have back there on their return team, was that sort of an anomaly? Because, I mean, Corey Bojorquez had been having a fantastic season before that Chicago game. So was the Chicago game an anomaly in this season, or was it a wake-up call to changes that needed to be made moving forward for their punt and kick?
Well, you know, so a couple things went wrong. One was Bojorquez wasn't very accurate with his sideline kicks. They didn't want to kick out of bounds to him on punts, but he left a couple of punts too far inside, and he hadn't really been doing that, but he also been punting in a little different conditions, better conditions, and this was a test for him, and it wasn't a good game. And then the coverage units had been pretty good, had been really good up to this point. And it was really one half of really bad coverage. Mm-hmm. And they seemed to fix it in the second half. They kind of regrouped. And so I think what they're trying to do is not panic over one half. But I do think there's a chance that they'll use a couple of veterans on special teams, maybe in just limited amounts where they feel like some of the younger guys are not, they need someone more reliable. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's this feeling that it was one half against really good returners. I think they have to also assess what they did in terms of strategy in whether to punt away from a guy, whether to squib kick, whatever. They have to look deep and figure out if they screwed that up too. I don't think their special teams are as bad as people think they are. I think the kicking game was a mess, but it seems to have straightened itself out. And then all of a sudden the return unit had a really bad half. So we'll see how it goes this week, but I don't expect the coverage units to be a huge problem. I think they had a bad game and they just need to correct the things they did wrong. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers even said on the Pat McAfee show this week that there are times that if the Packers aren't playing, he'll turn on a Chicago game just to watch Grant on returns. So he is a special player in that area. We'll see if it happens again against the Ravens, you know, if they were able to get it fixed or not. On offense specifically, you know, we mentioned Equanimeous St. Brown, still in concussion protocol. He was at practice on Thursday, but he was just sort of off in the pit. He wasn't participating. Where can they find that? They found that production from Alan Lazard last week with Randall Cobb out and then with EQ going out with a concussion during the game. Is this Baltimore defense set up without Marlon Humphrey to take advantage downfield, or do you keep riding that 1-2 punch of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon that has been pretty dang productive so far?
Well, you don't have, they didn't have Jimmy Smith last week and they didn't have Marlon Humphrey. And if that's the case, you have to get the ball to Devontae Adams. I think you've got to find a way to take advantage, particularly Humphrey, who's a really good corner. If you don't take advantage of that, then you're probably making a big mistake. It means you also have to protect. And we know that the loss of Billy Turner was not ideal, but they may also get David Bakhtiari back this week. He practiced in pads on Thursday, and we'll see where he is on Friday. And it's very possible he could be in the starting lineup on Sunday. I wouldn't rule it out. Now, even if he isn't, you know, they seem to be pretty good with Dennis Kelly at right tackle. He played pretty solidly, and he's a decent pass blocker. So they should be able to throw the ball. They may have to be a little bit get it out quick, rhythm passing again. But they got to get Davante Adams needs to have a big game against these guys because it's hard to run on them. And I think that Adams can have a big day if they can protect.
Speaking of the offensive line and protecting, you did a really fascinating piece this week, and people can go read it on PackersNews.com, but just about that offensive line and what they're doing with less. And I think you made the point that the combined salary of the current starting five is less than half of what David Bakhtiari is making to not play, which is not his fault. But how long can they get by with what they're doing on this offensive line? And how impressive is it what they're getting away with doing on the offensive line?
Well, it's extremely impressive. I think it's a credit to their personnel department that they have a Dennis Kelly who can come in for Billy Turner, that their two young guards, John Runyon and Royce Newman, were able to come in and become full-time starters. And Yosh Nijman has been able to come in. I mean, he's their third left tackle. Mm-hmm. And the guy's coming in and he's starting and playing pretty well. I mean, adequately. The thing is, eventually that's going to come up and bite you. I mean, it happened last year when, you know, they had aging Rick Wagner and he played really well in the regular season. And then they got up against Tampa, they lost Bakhtiari, and Tampa just destroyed their tackles. You know, Turner had to move to left tackle and Wagner played right tackle, and it was just kind of a mess. And so I think these guys are doing exactly what you want, is they're holding things down during the regular season. But to be at your best, you got to have Bakhtiari on the left, Turner on the right. And that's what they'll be working towards the playoffs. And if they can get those two guys back for the playoffs, then they're all right. So these guys just got to kind of hold things down until that happens.
Yeah. You know, I know you said you have to have them back by the playoffs. Next week could end up being an interesting test for where this line currently stands and how soon you need to get it patched back together when you're facing Myles Garrett, who's in line for Defensive Player of the Year. And I know Jadeveon Clowney's not who he used to be, but he's still pretty dang good. How can these guys hold up against those two will be an interesting test.
Well, and this week is huge. I mean, this is the top run defense in the NFL, and they're number two in third down defense, number three in red zone defense. Where their weakness is pass defense. So it's going to be a challenge if the Packers want to try to get Aaron Jones and Dylan going. And it's kind of why I felt like Adams has to have a big game. But these guys aren't slouches. The Ravens are an aggressive, tough, hard-nosed defense. And this will be a huge challenge for that group.
Right. Well, we will be there for you through it all, as much as we can be, as everything kind of shifts back into some intense protocols. And we'll let you know as things change. They are changing by the hour, by the minute at this point.
Yeah, we found out today we can't go into the media auditorium. Everything's going to be done by Zoom.
Right, back to Zoom. At least the email did say for today. So we'll see how long it lasts. We'll see where we go from here as the NFL works to finish off their first 17-game regular season and head into a Super Bowl in Los Angeles. I wonder if it could get moved.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. They're able to – I don't think they have to move it. I think they have to – they're going to have to make some protocols. I mean, they held it in Florida last year. And if there's a worse place on earth than Florida for COVID, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's LA.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be able to pull it off, but are they going to go back to all the same protocols where everything is Zoom? That's, that remains to be seen.
Whew. It will be interesting. Spoon, we are a week away from Christmas Eve. Have you finished your shopping? I know you were telling me earlier this week that you still had a few other things.
I've made progress. People will be happy to know. We're how many days out till
we are 8 days out, including today.
I think I might make it. But
if you want to just give me your credit card, I can do it for you. I'm great at spending other people's money.
I'll give you the company credit card.
Here we go. Our bosses didn't hear that. Don't listen to the last part of this. Well, it should be fun this weekend in Baltimore, and I think I'm flying into DC, and then you're going into Baltimore. That's a beautiful area of the country, especially at Christmas time, just to see it all lit up and all decorated. So, and all throughout the holiday season, looking forward to it. We will be there for you to cover it all on PackersNews.com, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Green Bay Press Gazette. Check it all out. Spoon, I'll see you this weekend.
That sounds good.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been the Green 19 Podcast, brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com.